Buccaneers fans, we're back. A quick return on the Ira Kaufman podcast. We talked about Zach Robinson getting signed the last time briefly, Ira, but we're going to go a little bit deeper on it for sure on our last podcast. And of course, it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealers. Leedy Kemper is here from Joe Bucks Fan. I'm here, Steve Isbitz, the mighty sage of Tampa Bay sports. We are actually in your native Newport Richie. Do you feel good when you're up here, Ira?
Always, always. But I missed a 5-foot par putt on the final hole, so I'm a little disgruntled.
Rough day on the course.
And then I find out the Buck news today.
All right, well, we'll see how you feel deeper about that now you've had more time to think about it. But, Sage, you are the custodian of Canton. The big reveal is coming up. In 10 days away we are? 7 days away?
It'll be about 3 days before the Super Bowl. Three nights
all right,
before.
Of the, yeah. This year's class. It's still a mystery to you. And, of course, you're Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the water damage whisperer, Uncle Ira. All right, Ira, look, we've got so much to get to on this podcast and not a lot at the same time because, you know what, ultimately, not much has changed. But we'll dive into that, and I don't know if that's good or bad. So we have to get into that. But Bill Curry Ford, they've got 65 years in Tampa, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Don't worry, drive Curry. They've got incredible lease deals. 3-year lease deals. These prices look like it's 2005. I don't understand, but you know what? I'm reading through fine print, and there's not much fine print. Sean Sullivan is your guy there. He's the general manager. He's got the Ira Kaufman discount for you that applies to everything. Mobile service at your home. They've got the biggest service department on scene in Florida at Bill Curry Ford. They've got, what else they got, Lee? They got trucks. They got SUVs. They got everything anybody could possibly
Jeeps.
Want.
Yep. And they will service all models, not just Ford. It's a good place to get your oil changed if you got a Chevy.
And open on Sunday. Open on Sunday.
Open on Sunday.
Department.
We got a long list of things, but get to BillCurryFord.com. They're family owned since 1960. That makes a difference. The Curry family is there to serve you, and they serve the community. Sage, Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll talk about them a little bit later in the podcast. Our good friend Josh Martin. I can't wait to ask him what he thinks about Zach Robinson taking over as offensive coordinator.
He can check my body for mold, Lee. Yeah, you know, I might have some
I'm
mold.
I'm not going there.
No, don't go there.
Definitely mildew, but I don't know. But anyway.
I guess it's better than yeast.
Yeah, better than yeast.
But Florida's Elite Restoration is there for you 24/7 when you call. Remember, Ira Kaufman mentioned Ira, and if you need their services, you will get a $500 discount after their free inspection. But we'll talk about them later, Sage. All right, Ira. Zach Robinson is now officially here, and word is out that Baker Mayfield, blessed this as if he were the king. And, you know, on your podcast, I wrote something right after Josh Grizzard was fired that said Baker Mayfield obviously sanctioned the firing of Josh Grizzard. Well, he was a little uncomfortable. I know you were a little uncomfortable.
No, I'm not.
No?
No.
But now it seems we have the reverse. Mayfield is bringing in his guy who he knew from his 5-6 weeks in Los Angeles.
Lee, I don't need an Albert Breer or Jason LaConfora to suggest that Baker Mayfield was in the middle of these discussions.
Mm.
And why wouldn't he be, Lee? I mean, right now, Mayfield's the face of the franchise, you know, whether you like it or not. Even though he had a shaky second half, I don't think Jason Light or the Glazers have really changed their minds about Mayfield going forward. We'll see what kind of season he has. And right now they're in a wait-and-see mode. And I don't blame him. But Grizzard, if Mayfield would have, the old thing, Lee, stand on a table for the guy, Grizzard would still be here. Yeah. Could we say that Zach Robinson was Baker Mayfield's first choice? We can't say that. We can't say that. They made a run at McDaniel, Lee. They made a good run at McDaniel. It didn't happen. I'm not going to blame the franchise for that. He wanted to go to L.A. and work with Herbert and work with Harbaugh, and that's fine. As far as Zach Robinson, familiarity, again, with Mayfield. Familiarity. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about his credentials, but is it a home run, Lee? At this point, you know, it's a bunt down the third baseline. We shall see. Did he do a great job with Atlanta the last couple of years? He did an okay job.
Yeah.
He did an okay job.
Well, so let's go on the familiarity theme because the Bucs interviewed him in 2023. They hired Liam Cohen. The Falcons hired Zach Robinson. And the Bucs cashed in. And the Falcons were wondering, where's the Bucs offense that they got? And we're not as good. And
23 or 24?
Excuse me, 24 after the 23 season. So The Bucks go with Liam Cohen. Then they go with Josh Grizzard to try to keep continuity for Mayfield, even though Grizzard wasn't necessarily the best available offensive coordinator on the market.
And had never called a play.
Now they go back to Robinson, who's out of the Liam Cohen mold. Again, another effort to try to not have Mayfield, you know, have to go through a whole new offense. What do you think is going to happen with that, Lee, as it relates to going to have a lot of changes to the playbook? Are they looking to go back to everything Cohen did? Or what do you think is going on there?
You know, I was kind of like blah on the idea of Robinson coming in. And, obviously a lot of commenters on our website, they don't like him. I was going through Twitter. It's not a whole lot of support for him. And I started doing some research after he was announced that he was the next guy. 2 years ago, with Cohn, Bucks are number four offense. Number six was Atlanta.
Yards, total yards.
Average yards per game. It's not bad.
Not bad.
So it made me feel a lot better. The thing I like about this, it's hidden. It's got absolutely nothing to do with me. We know McVay lights up bowls. Lights them up. I mean, that's not unusual for anyone, but McVay specifically. And Atlanta, just FYI, and Robinson, guess what they averaged against Bulls defense? Four games. Robinson, 444 yards average. Average.
Oh, I thought you meant points per game.
So if I hope this happens. If I'm Bulls, after he got hired, he sits in a room with him and he says, Zach, what the hell is wrong with my defense? What are you and McVay doing that's lighting this defense up? Now you got to come clean with me, because if we win, you get more money. You get a promotion.
From a Zach Robinson perspective, all the restraints are off. Why shouldn't he tell Bowles what the hell he thought of the defense? He's got no reason to hold back. He's not on an enemy team.
I thought you were going somewhere else, and that's where I thought you were going was an excellent point, because he's unlikely to face the Bulls defense again. Because
let it all hang out.
Yeah, because if the Bucks don't succeed in 2026. Bowles might be out, and that's it for him.
I'm more interested if he had a candid chat to Jason Light about that. Maybe he goes there with Bowles at some point, but Light's got to know what are the deficiencies that you're seeing, because that's going to help me fine-tune what I'm looking for to supplement what's on the defense.
I think that's a very important part of the whole interview process, was tapping this guy's knowledge of what the hell was wrong with the Buck defense over the last couple of years.
Now, mind you, McVay, like I said, McVay has always had Bowles' number. And who came from McVay's tree? Robinson. Robinson goes to Atlanta, 444 yards a game.
And he did it again this year with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, Lee's right, because it's a systemic thing that, you know, McVay always does it. Robinson did it consistently. What the hell? You know, see, there's something there. Do you make anything, Ira? We had this, obviously, on JoeBucksFan.com. The Bucks announced it, made it official, the hiring of Zach Robinson. But this is what Todd Bowles said. Now, this could have been written by a PR person, but we don't know that. So I can't assume that.
But it's got Bowles' name on it.
It's got Bowles' name on it. He welcomes Zach Robinson. Bowles says, Zach is one of the bright offensive minds in our game. And during the interview process, I was very impressed with his plan for getting the most out of the talent we have on that side of the ball. He has very good understanding of the strengths of our top offensive players from his time in the division the past 2 years, and I'm very confident in his ability to teach and develop our young players. Your thoughts?
I think that's coach speak, because I don't think Zach Robinson was into too much about what kind of routes Chris Godwin was running. Yeah. He's worried about how am I going to attack Antoine Winfield. You know, it's a nice sentiment. I understand that. Here's a little wrinkle. I'll throw it out to Lee. From a Bulls perspective, Lee, besides the familiarity with Mayfield that I think might have put him over the top once McDaniel was out of the mix, I think he's a little bit run-centric. I think from a Bowles perspective,
he likes that.
And you would think Bowles is making the call. You know, it's not Mayfield's call. It's Bowles' call, ultimately.
You don't think it's Jason Light?
No. Bowles gets to pick his staff.
I'm being somewhat sarcastic. Yeah, yeah. When you say
now, again, Mayfield had a big part in this. He did. But from a Bowles perspective, Steve, he don't mind a guy that likes to run the ball. And, of course, they got Bijan Robinson. You got to be an idiot not to give him the ball 22 times. I mean, the guy's great.
Yeah, I mean, he had, 2,300 yards from scrimmage, something
yes,
crazy
he did.
Like
yes,
that.
He did.
I like Steve's article. The Bucks have a weak spot at tight end. Are the Bucks going to lure Pitts here?
He sure got the best out of Pitts last year. And Pitts hurt the Bucs, too.
Oh, my gosh.
What was interesting is on the Atlanta, you know, reading Atlanta fans and analysis and
all
stuff.
All four of them?
Yeah. Apparently, Pitts' blocking improved last year. My worry would be that he was a contract year guy, but this was his. He was on the fifth-year option, so he made good money last year.
Well, why did it take him so long? Why did
well,
it take Pitts
I
so long?
I can't speak to that, Ira, but you sometimes if a guy has never gotten a payday, I worry more, but he played on his fifth-year option. He made the most of it. You know, he made good money last year. He's still 25 years old. He came into the league very young. I don't know.
I like Robinson weighing in on Pitts. Nobody knows him better than Robinson.
Exactly.
But you talked about a wrinkle, Ira. So Zach Robinson, when these teams are preparing to face, you name it, the Bucks, because they're in the same division as Atlanta, they're playing the same team. So Atlanta is watching, oh, let me watch the Bucks play this team, that team, whatever. They're watching a lot of that to scout the defense. So I'm sure he did watch plenty of the Bucks offense on film. Oh, I loved how you guys, this is how you attacked
New Orleans.
You know, whatever team, insert a team. And this is what I didn't like. This is what I liked. This is what we stole. This is what we said, hell no, we're never doing that. Why are the Bucks doing that? So he might have had a good handle.
And Lee, for people that say, well, the Falcons were middle of the road in points per game, you know, 21 points or whatever it was. They had a quarterback problem in Atlanta last year. Sort of. They certainly didn't have the Mayfield of the first half of the season. That they didn't have.
Nope.
So we'll see what he can do with Mayfield. But Atlanta did have some weapons. Lee, Drake London's good. I mean, he is. And their offensive line's pretty good.
It's okay, yeah.
You know, I'd say a notch below the Bucks when the Bucks are healthy.
One thing that troubled me a little bit with Atlanta, Ira, and maybe it's not fair, but, you know, obviously they had the incredible success against the Bucks. So you can't knock the guy for carving the Bucks up. He did it better than anybody else. But the Bucks defense, we know, was just dreadful.
Weren't they shut out by the Panthers, Steve? Didn't they lose 30 to nothing?
I was going to mention that. They got shut out by the Panthers. Not a good look. They scored 10 points against Miami. Definitely not a good look. And
now I know why people are upset.
9 points against the Seahawks on the road. Okay, you had a bad day. I'll give you that one. But they only scored more than 30 points once. That's a little troubling that they never had that big day like that. I don't know. But I watched almost 12 or 13 of the Falcons games because I try to watch all the division games on the condensed replay.
This guy and Sean Sullivan are crazy.
And they're just not – it's just nothing was special. And it's like I feel like they could have gotten even more out of Bijan Robinson. I don't know.
So you say on the creativity scale?
Yeah, nothing special. And I think that's why Zach Robinson ultimately was not a head coach candidate anywhere. Doesn't mean he's no good. It just wasn't special.
What we don't know, and I doubt this happened, but the possibility is there, was Raheem meddling with the offense at all?
I don't know, but Ira's going to call Raheem this week, get some intel.
They're
buddies, and we'll definitely talk about it next week. Do you think the Bucks felt that Robinson was an easy sell to Mike Evans and all the other people that they want to really buy in quickly because of his tie to Baker Mayfield, or do they let Mayfield sell him? How does that work within the team? How's the team going to feel about a fifth offensive coordinator in 5 years? That's got to wear on guys. It's got to.
I think they're going to rely on Mayfield to do the sell job to the rest of the offense. You know, I don't really think that he's got to win over Ben Bredesen. Look, the guy's an experienced play caller, Lee, which Josh Grizzard was not. And neither was Dave Canales. And
it took him a while to get comfortable.
Lee, facts are facts. The Buck offense under Canales was no great shakes. It just wasn't.
Up until December, you're right. It really didn't do anything. December, I'll get in trouble saying this, even though, you know, the Bucks don't, they want me
it's
to.
It's not your fault Chris Godwin's wife had a meltdown.
Thank you. He said it, I didn't. After that happened, all of a sudden, kaboom, the offense opens up. But you're right, Ira. The first 3 months of the season, the offense was nothing.
Now, Steve, I got a text from a guy that all three of us know.
Russo?
Who knows the Falcons intimately. It was not Orlando Ledbetter. It was not. He caused enough stir the other day, and we'll talk about that.
He caught a stray.
This guy has no axe to grind. Very sharp football guy. He didn't smack around Zach Robinson. But he said he didn't see a lot of imagination from Robinson's offense. Somewhat predictable in the formations and what the play run would be. And he didn't vary from that very much. So he's got some stuff to work with. But
I think I know who you're talking about.
I'm curious to see what he does with Baker.
So this backed up my assessment of watching a dozen or so Falcons games.
It did.
I'm pleased with that. Now, I don't know who you're talking about, but I have a couple good guesses. I got two good guesses. So, look, Robinson has a lot to prove to the fans. Now, Ira, we do our fan polls at JoeBucksFan.com, and they're all flash polls. I have to say this again because they're not like on other websites, but we left a poll up for 3 days, or that old TBO.com poll, which will be up for a week.
Yep.
You know, and you know, we do a very short sample size, so nobody can mess with it, and it's just a legitimate snapshot. And it's, sometimes it's kind of fun to anger fans who miss the poll. They feel like they don't want to miss anything, but that's fun. The question was, how do you feel about the Bucs' hire of offensive coordinator Zach Robinson? Now, the number one answer was don't know, which is fair. That was 33%.
33%.
31% said they were satisfied. 19% said they were frustrated. 8.5% said they were happy. 6% upset. 2% other. So that's a very mixed reaction, basically. You've got 40% are happy or satisfied, with about a third don't know, and the other 30%, they're not too happy about it.
What would other be? Nausea?
I don't know. Other.
And Lee, let's remember the poll that Steve ran last week, which is who do you want to be hired as the OC? And I believe Zach Robinson finished a distant third behind.
Yeah, he had like 3%
and Monken. People don't know Zach Robinson. I think that's the one thing that probably came out of it.
Yeah, they know McDaniel. They know Monken, of course.
Now, the fact that they don't know him and that he's not a real, he's not known for anything as far as being flamboyant or wearing funny hats or having dramatic news conferences. Is this good for Todd Bowles versus what Mike McDaniel would have been, a big personality and a big media guy and, you know, quirky. You never know what he's going to say. Now we've got I'm not saying he's a Bowles clone, but Robinson is not an out there kind of guy. What's your thought on that?
Well, he might be more like a Dave Canales guy who's, okay at the podium, but, he's not going to say anything flashy. Where Liam Cohn, you never know what Cohn was going to say. And he's not bad. He was not bad at the podium.
A little bit of a live wire.
Now, you loved, of course, his expressions. He had some great expressions, some of which he didn't like you putting on the website.
And we found out.
And I understand that. But Zach Robinson seems to be low-key. You know, you could be a Falcon fan and not know much about the guy. A Falcon fan. You know, I assume Raheem was kind of hands-off. I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, Raheem was an offensive assistant coach.
For a while.
For a while, yeah. He was a receivers coach.
Now, the subject we're talking about, I got to be honest. I know we care, but most of the fans out there are probably screaming, and I understand, so who gives a bleep? I don't care. Just as long as he does X's and O's, who the hell cares what kind of personality he is? And I kind of...
And the other half is screaming why Bowles still has a job. They're still out there.
And that's understandable as well. Oh, I'll hit you with this, Ira.
Real quickly, just on that. Dave Canales was a very likable guy.
Very.
High energy. He's been known to get emotional
very
at the podium.
Very positive.
Super positive. He's cried a couple of times. All kinds of things. Talked for a long time. Fans connected with him. They liked him. I don't know anybody who didn't like Dave Canales. Liam Cohn comes in with Todd Bowles on a super high approval rating, right? They just went toe-to-toe with the Lions in the playoffs. In comes Cohen. You know, people feel good about the coaching staff. They don't know Cohen. Okay. But now everybody's down on Bowles, and in comes a guy who's kind of nondescript. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter on the field, but, man, I don't think it's going to help any excitement for the Bucs.
You know, along those lines, Lee, at this point at least, I don't think anybody at Buck Nation is, like, excited because, he could be the guy that replaces Bowles if the Bucs have a bad year. I don't think Buck fans are thinking about that, about Zach Robinson.
I think they are.
Where they might have been thinking that about Monken. They might have been thinking that about
Monken. And they were thinking about McDaniel, and I think they're thinking that about Robinson.
But like Steve said, he wasn't a credible head coach candidate, apparently.
Well, I'm sure most Buck fans are willing to give Robinson time to develop, and if he does a good job, they'll be screaming to promote him.
And I get it.
You know, there are some people out there that are readers, regular readers. They're on Steve and I's cases. You guys aren't critical of Bowles enough, and I'm going. Well, the Bucks don't think that way. They wagged a finger in my face.
Things changed, Steve, because when Cutter was hired by Lovie Smith and did a good job,
year for James,
and then all of a sudden, the narrative changed, like, you can't let this guy out of the building. And nobody really knew Dirk Cutter that much when he came to Tampa.
You knew him from a little bit from Atlanta.
A little bit. But he wasn't very energetic either, necessarily. But I'm to Lee's point, fans' opinions of Zach Robinson could change if this offense takes off.
Exactly. It's all about results. I'm going to hit you with this. And, Steve and I, where have we written, Steve, that we condone what happened this past year?
I don't care what the fans think. I just do say what I think. That's
okay,
all.
Well, I'm the same way, but I care that there are readers, and I care that, like a customer service person, I don't want our readers pissed off and not reading.
We
this,
all
but.
Said they were a poorly coached team. What more are you going to say? They were poorly coached.
I'll just say this like I said a little bit ago.
The proof is in the archives. That's all we can say.
Some of our readers are pissed we're not negative enough. The Bucks are just the opposite.
That's right.
Ira, Bucks fans, they see McDermott getting launched. Basically, because his defense doesn't live up to the fact that he's a defensive guy. And the Bucks fans are like, wait a minute, Hobbs Bowl's still here. And I guess you could say the thing about Harbaugh. He's got a hell of a resume, better than Bowles. And they let him loose because I guess they couldn't win enough in the playoffs. And they're like, well, wait a minute.
I think the bar was set higher in Baltimore and Buffalo than it was for the 2025 Bucks. Not that the Glazers didn't think this was going to be a big season. They did. But... you know, Buffalo has been knocking at the door, and the Bucks haven't.
What's the bar for Zach Robinson? Does he basically have to bring us back to where Liam Cohen had us, or at least very close?
I would say somewhere between Canales and Cohn, which is between 21 and 29. 25 is a good, nice spot. 25.
So 25 points a game.
25 points a game. It's a nice spot.
I'll tell you what the
it's
bar
a money
is.
Spot.
I'll tell you what the bar is. Has nothing to do with the offensive rankings. And honestly, it doesn't have anything to do with Robinson. Bucks don't have 10 wins. People are going to be screaming for Bowles. And Robinson will be collateral damage.
Probably.
They're wanting wins. If that means the defense has to score 10 times, okay. Just get the 10 wins. That's all the fans care about. Get the 10 wins, win a couple games in the playoffs. That's their bar. That's the bar. It ain't Robinson. It's Bowles.
Obviously, the bar is the Super Bowl, but not next year. I mean, I think fans would be ecstatic if what Lee says came true. 10 wins, win a couple of playoff games, you know, get to an NFC championship game.
Now, Lee, they jettisoned Lovie Smith in some ways controversially. In some ways.
It wasn't controversial to me.
And retained Dirk Koetter and promoted him.
There's
so they have done that.
There's a reason why. It's not exactly an apples and apples comparison. This is why. Up until that point, maybe a few years later, if you had a rookie quarterback and he lost his offensive coordinator for whatever reason, fired, got a new job, that guy went into a tank. The Bucks had many millions of dollars invested in Jameis. So they wanted to keep Koetter for that reason. And the first year he was head coach, he lost a tiebreaker for a playoff game.
Now, Steve, along those lines, the Falcons, they could have retained Zach Robinson and given him a raise to work with young Mike Penix. Could have.
They could have. Look, I get it. Obviously, you know, they blew the whole thing out.
Well,
so.
Maybe almighty Stefanski. You know, can fix him.
Yeah.
Where he hasn't fixed anybody yet.
Sage, just for the record, that 25 points per game, that would have been sixth best in the NFC this year. Sixth best. I think it's got to be more like 27. I really do. Because if the Bucks score 25 a game, that means we need significant improvement from the Todd Bowles defense. And hopefully we get some. But I'm not sure how much we're going to get. However, the teams that scored 25 or more in the NFC were the Rams in the playoffs, Seattle in the playoffs, Detroit. Not in the playoffs, Dallas not in the playoffs, and Chicago at 25.7. So, I don't know. I think it's got to be a little higher with the weapons the Bucks are going to have.
You're not going to say the bar is Liam Cohn because that's a high bar.
No, Cohn was at 29.
That's unrealistic.
I'm going to say you got to try to get 26.5 to 27.
Mostly because you don't have any faith that the defense is going to be considerably better. Not considerably.
No, I think they will be because it can't get much worse. Now,
Considerably better?
Yeah, sure. They were awful. I think you got to be able to get to almost average.
So I just want to go, I'm not mocking you. I'm just saying, if they go from what they were, which is bad, average, that's considerable.
Definitely.
That's fair.
Definitely,
that's fair.
Yeah.
I think if that doesn't happen, how do you bring Bowles back in 27?
Well, there's quite a few people out there. How can you bring it back at 26?
You get a one-year pass. You don't get a two-year pass.
Well, I do know the Glazer family has a pattern, and it's always dangerous because just when you think you got them figured out, they throw a curveball at you. The Glazer family has a pattern. Unless you win a Super Bowl for them, you get two losing seasons in a row, and that's it. And that's it. So if they have a losing season this year, based on their history, bye-bye, Todd.
Florida's Elite Restoration. They take care of homeowners and business owners everywhere, all over the Bay Area, across the state, 24/7. You call them when you have water damage, fire damage, flood damage. Mold is a killer. they will investigate, inspect, evaluate everything for you free. And they are experts in the industry. They've got decades of experience on the insurance side of the business. So when you need to file that claim, they can handle it for you, know how to get the money for you, and take care of everything for you. But everything is free out of the gate, and you decide if you want to work with them or if you even have a problem that you want to handle that way. But they are a top-flight restoration company. They're also a one-stop shop. So if your kitchen is trashed, they can also eventually get you a new kitchen.
And Steve, with us vouching for them, it's not conjecture. We're vouching because we know people that have used them, and we know what they say about their services. It's direct.
And there's plenty of people we don't know, and that's what all those five-star across-the-board Google reviews are about at Florida's Elite Restoration. Check that out on Google, floridaselite restoration.com. Get there today. Put them in your disaster plan. And right after the show, you can head down to Bill Curry Ford. They have got all the deals you are looking for, and they're all on the website, BillCurryFord.com. 65 years, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Don't worry, drive Curry. The Joe Bucks fan discount is in effect. You just have to ask General Manager Sean Sullivan for that, and it's right on the website, BillCurryFord.com, where you can also schedule service and mobile service right at your home. Check it out, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, Bucks fans, it's been a rough couple of weeks, but they're feeling better, I think. At least there's some stability now. And now everybody's eyes turns toward the defensive coaches. I don't think anybody cares too much about who the Bucks hire as quarterbacks coach, unless, of course, the Bucks draft a quarterback. That's a whole nother show later in down the road. Maybe they find a guy they like in the third, fourth round to be a backup. But what do you think happens with these defensive coaches? We don't have a cornerbacks coach yet. We don't have a safeties coach. We got a lot of young players back there. We need a defensive line coach. I don't know any team that doesn't think that's a critical role. And maybe Bowles changes up how he uses the coaches, because they always had an edge rusher coach and a defensive lineman coach, and some teams just have one guy to handle that. And maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know, but what's next?
I think this is a good opportunity, Lee, for Bowles to make some changes. Schematically,
yes.
Changes, hear from some new people. You know, look, Ross and Rapone were solid guys, veterans, but they all came from the same school. And
old school.
Yeah, old school, Temple and this and that and the Arians. And it's not a bad thing to hear some refreshing new ways of doing things, Lee. It's not bad.
I'll give you an example, and you'll love it because this makes one of your buddies look real good. And like I said, I don't think this guy's a Hall of Famer, but he could have been a Hall of Famer in my eyes as an executive. Because he had such a beautiful knack for assistant coaches. When Father Dungy, I can't remember the linebackers coach, white dude, he hired him out of college.
Joe Barry?
Joe Barry and Mike Tomlin. Young guys out of college, no experience in the NFL. Look what happened in that defense. If Bowles would do something like that, I think that would be awesome. I don't know if he will.
And he replaced the Herm Edwards with a Mike Tomlin. I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
You know me. Dungy was a good coach. I didn't think he was a great coach. I know, winning record. But I thought he had an unbelievable knack of hiring coaches. He was
Marinelli, too, Lee.
The whole staff, yeah, man.
The story goes, and it's been told many times, that Dungy came into the Tampa Bay program 1996. He talked to the scouts and said, give me a list of who you think the best college coaches are. I need teachers. I need energy guys who are just the young guys who nobody knows about. Who's got it? Yeah, I don't think Bowles would ever do something like that.
By the way, he
had a chance to do that last year, and we got Charlie Strong. Come on.
FYI, defensive guys he was great at. Offense, No.
Yeah, you're
but
right.
But defense, he was fantastic, man. Didn't every coach outside of Kiffin get a head coaching job? Marinelli did. Tomlin obviously did. Herm Edwards did.
Don't mention Marinelli. He went 0-16.
But he got a job.
He did.
He got a job as a head coach.
Ira, do you expect at some point any of the Buccaneers players are going to come out publicly in support of Todd Bowles, make an effort to do that? Jason Light, is he going to do an interview where
Well, not unless you ask him something directly, Steve. It's up to guys like you.
No. I'm talking about a player. No, not at all, Ira. This is 2026. A player going out on social media saying, hey, a lot of noise been for weeks about Todd Bowles. Shut up. Bowles is the guy. Where is that?
If they were going to do it, they would have done it 3 weeks ago.
Well, is it coming? Probably. Is it coming soon? Where is it?
No, because Bowles says he's already been told he's the coach. So I don't think the players feel the need to step up and say that.
Players need to feel the need, some of them, to tell you what they had for breakfast. They can't speak up and say something about their coach. It's disconcerting, I think.
I wanted to hear. I put in a request for Light when the season ended, and I got nowhere. I just got nowhere. Has anybody quoted Light since the season ended?
But what I'm saying is, if Light did a, let's say he did a jump down with Kay Adams on her show, or did something with,
could have done it in house with the Bucks. Could have done it in house.
If he did something with Peter Schrager, you know, on his podcast or whatever, and you know Schrager's going to say, "Hey, Todd Bowles, there was talk. You guys made a call to John Harbaugh. A lot of speculation surrounding Todd."
Here's your opportunity.
What's going on there? What do we need to know about the job Todd did? And then Jason could just, you know, lay it out there. But he's not doing any interviews. Todd Bowles isn't doing any interviews. Bruce Arians isn't.
He's the only guy.
He's the only guy out there, but he's not stomping his feet saying, he's not going overboard saying, look, Bowles is a rock star. He's just got an extension. He's a Super Bowl coach. He's not going overboard. I don't know.
Steve, I don't know if you even realized that, because you would have talked about this more. No one from the Bucks has ever come out and say, hey, that report that we called Harbaugh's people is BS.
Nobody said a word.
Nobody said a word. Nobody refuted that.
Well, Bowles is going to be asked about it at the combine when he's doing multiple media sessions.
Now, you were saying player, and I don't know this. I'll have to double check. Yaya may have on Instagram. He's not a Twitter guy. He'll go on Twitter, but he's more of an Instagram guy. I know I'm pretty sure he put out something, but I don't recall him mentioning Bowles, but I'm not sure.
You feel the Bucks, Steve, are at the point where they were in 2020 once Brady came aboard, like, we're all in. This is the year, and 2021 also. We're all in, and we're getting that free agent, and we're getting that guy, and we're spending this kind of money. You think ownership feels the Bucks are at that phase right now where, hey, it's going to cost you a second-round pick, Jason, to make a trade for that guy, and we think you should do it? You feel the Glazers feel the Bucks are at that point where we got to do it this year?
Well, I can't speak what I think the Glazers are going to say, because they're in hiding as usual. So who knows? Maybe I shouldn't say hiding, but you know how they are. They work in the background. They don't.
But it's obvious they were all in for some of those years. All in.
Oh, no question.
And if you got Brady, why wouldn't you be?
I think Arians. Brady only had a few years. And Arians only had a few. He was in his 70s with health problems, and Glazer family ordered him to take tests. And so Arians didn't have much time, so it was like now or never. And so, yes, they were all in.
You think Light could waver a little bit about his reluctance to give up some draft picks for a veteran?
Ira, the answer to your question is actually easy. It's actually an easy question, which is, I love easy questions. Did Arians turn 70 on the job with the Bucks, or was it after he retired?
So. Might be after he retired.
It might have been. I think he was 67 when they hired him. But anyway. The answer comes in March. Free agency dinner bell's going to ring. Are the Bucks out there signing three defensive starters? That's your answer. If they're all in, they're going to sign the best available edge rusher that doesn't go over the top crazy with the bank. And they're
like a Reddick.
Sign a cup. No, that's not over. The money wasn't over the top for Reddick. They're going to sign a free agent edge rusher, and they're going to sign a couple of starting linebackers.
And if Lavonte retires, that's money in the bank.
Yes.
Right?
That's what, $7 million?
It's money.
Well, he was close to 10. No, they didn't cut his pay. But he's not on the cap for next year because he was a one-year deal. But if they don't sign three defensive starters in free agency, now, of course, somebody could be replaced in the draft if they get a beastly linebacker, mm-hmm. then they're not serious.
Are you saying you don't trust Jason Light to make a couple of very astute defensive draft
picks?
No,
I'm saying the answer to your question is, are the Bucks all in? We're going to learn that. Come March. That's it. If they're not buying defensive starters, then there's a problem.
They could make a trade for one.
Yeah, well, a trade, of course. Yeah, exactly.
You know, you look at the offense, Lee, other than maybe tight end.
Running back.
Tyler Algier, we'll get to him next time, Ira. Talk about
no
him.
No podcast goes by without you mentioning that guy.
Well,
Steve.
I like that guy, and now we've got Zach Robinson. They may go to Zach
Robinson. It's like Lee with Egbuka, and that turned out pretty good.
They need a running back. You would think they'd say, well, you know, Algier, what do we need to know here? What's going on?
And here comes Zach Robinson.
Well, that's why I said Robinson.
Yeah.
So, all right, Ira, look, we're wrapping up this podcast here. You have a good feeling about what's going on? What's your vibe? I don't have a good read on it. You're up, you're down, I don't know.
I'm glad it's over. I'm glad the search for the OC is over.
The podcast or the search for the...
Because if they didn't get Robinson and, you know, somebody else plucks the guy from the Rams, I mean, who the hell's left at that point?
Well, there are some college guys that have experience.
Ryan
Grubb springs to mind.
John Gruden.
Ooh.
So Mayfield put the stamp of approval on Zach Robinson, and I've got confidence in Mayfield that he can make a wise choice. I do. Robinson didn't do a bad job in Atlanta. He didn't do a glittering job in Atlanta, but they had quarterback issues, Lee, especially in 2025. And I'm not sold on Penix, Steve. He's no Baker Mayfield.
What's your first question for Zach Robinson? And then we're out. What's your first question? What's the sage's thought? All right, I might warm up this kid with a softball, but what's my question for Zach Robinson?
Someone's going to steal it from him.
That's okay.
It's okay.
How are you going to revitalize this running game? What are you going to do about it? It wasn't very good last year.
All right, Sage's work is done for the day. If you didn't listen to our first podcast of this week, right after the Zach Robinson signing, it's on JoeBucksFan.com. It's at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, iHeartRadio app, so many different platforms. We appreciate all of your support and the continued growth of subscribers. It's really been fantastic as we close in on 10 full years of doing this podcast. Hard to believe. And we actually may even start doing some more of them. We've been talking about that. But Zach Robinson will be talking to the media on Tuesday. That will be the day of our next podcast. And, of course, we'll be busy all weekend long at JoeBucksFan.com.